Hi, I'm Vicky Clark, and I'm a founding trustee of Opening the Doors Foundation. I didn't have a clue how to set a foundation up.
I'm John Arthur. I'm a trustee of Opening the Doors Foundation. I didn't understand the Indigenous aspects of it, but I had a skill that I could bring a framework and a structure to an organisation that would then enable Vicky to achieve this dream.
That's our two storytellers for today's Australian Black and White story, for which we're in the heart of Aboriginal Victoria. Just a few kilometres north of the Naam, now Melbourne, CBD, in the office of a foundation which greatly helps Aboriginal students.
Supply me with books and uniforms and stuff, so it just decreases the financial stress, I guess, for the whole family.
My life to me was to go shopping for their uniforms because I always knew I had enough money to buy them the best shoes, school shoes, just their runners, you know, like I didn't have to send them to school with the shoes that they were wearing at home.
Thanks, Shay and Julie. It's great to have you as part of this Australian Black and White story, in which we're learning all about Opening the Doors Foundation and how it came to be. First, though...
I'm Vicky Clark. When I acknowledge country, I acknowledge the ancestors that walked on this land for at least 60,000 years. Black and White stories acknowledge all the sacred lands across this country and pay their respects to the ancestors that have cared for this land for thousands and thousands of years, and also to the generation today that are continuing to care for country, and may the future generations continue to care for country and continue to tell the stories.
And please be warned, sometimes our stories include sounds, names and pictures of people who have entered the dreaming. Now, in a bit to avoid confusion, can I just explain that Vicky Clark, OAM, is wearing two of her many hats today. One is as a director of Australian Black and White Stories, which she co-founded with me, Philippa O'Donnell, former veteran ABC journalist. And the other is as a principal storyteller for Opening the Doors Foundation. Well, before we started work on Black and White Stories, Vicky had established the Opening the Doors Foundation, which in its first two decades distributed more than 10,000 grants to Aboriginal students and their families in Victoria. At Black and White Stories, Vicky and I are joining forces to bring you inspiring positive yarns about our nation's contemporary life. We will take you all around Australia so you can meet many people working together to understand and learn from each other's cultures. Today, in the epicentre of Aboriginal Victoria, we are at Thornbury, just down the road from where Sir Doug Nicholls and several others started the very progressive Aboriginal Advancement League in 1957. But that's a story for another day. For today's story, we're at the Opening the Doors Foundation, where in the year 2000, that very same Vicky Clark, OAM, met a bloke who changed her life.
I met Vicky in the year 2000, and the year 2000, of course, was the year of reconciliation. I can see her dream had a reality, that it was achievable, but I had a skill that I think could bring a framework and a structure to an organisation that would then enable Vicky to achieve this dream.
Australia in 2000 was rather different to these days. That year, an enlightened young John Arthur attended an Aboriginal cultural experience at Geriwerd, the Grampians National Park. That experience impacted him significantly, and as a result, he wanted to learn more about our First Nations culture. But more importantly, he wanted to do something meaningful to correct the wrongs of the past and redress the historic disadvantage impacting the lives of his fellow Australians. Early in that year of reconciliation, a quarter of a million people walked across Sydney Harbour Bridge, showing support for Indigenous Australians. A few months later, John Arthur was one of 300,000 people who showed similar solidarity by walking through the CBD of his native Melbourne. When John met Vicky, he was inspired by her enthusiasm for driving change. She told him of the gap she saw in the educational needs of First Nations families who wanted to self-determine where they could educate their children. They wanted to be able to attend non-government schools which were beyond their financial capacity. Also, Vicky told him the Aboriginal community felt they didn't have a presence at independent schools, so it wasn't a level playing field when it came to educating their children. It was a time when most Australians didn't understand issues facing Aboriginal people. Having been exposed to some of the problems, John wanted to use his life experience and university education to help rectify some of the problems. His was an enlightened attitude, and opening the doors did need a person with his education and experience as a corporate lawyer.
He knew that it was obviously education was going to be the key for any Aboriginal person or any Aboriginal child and family. He just knew that that was the place that he could put his energy into, and he did. Opening the Doors is a foundation that was set up to give opportunity for Aboriginal students educated in Victoria the opportunity to participate in education of choice, which is in our Catholic and independent schools.
Education, of course, is essential to address the well-being, health and employment opportunities that these families and their children need to progress in life and to close the gap that exists between the Indigenous and non-Indigenous people in our society.
Families didn't believe that there was an opportunity for them to participate or enrol in Catholic schools because of the cost. The costs were way out of their budgets, and that's when it became obvious that we needed to support them in the key things that gave them that wholeness so that they can succeed with uniforms, with books, opportunities for camps. We gave them that opportunity to participate as an equal in the school.
But what about the parents and students? What did they think?
Opening the doors is a way for all children to feel the same by being able to have uniforms. It's a way for kids to have a good education.
Up until then, we hardly had anyone that completed BCE. Since then, I think we've had about 65, 60 through, and that's a lot. Lot in this small town. Opening the door was a real bonus for us to have. You know, it's been good. Wish they had in all schools. We wouldn't have so many kids getting in trouble.
Each year, you know, we, as part of our grant process, we do ask families to give feedback and for trustees to read some of the stories that we get. It's just so enlightening and so satisfying.
They continually write to us and say, you do not know how proud little Johnny or little Mary is to walk into that schoolyard and have the school bag, have the school hat, and have just what everyone else has. And I remember when I was in school, if I didn't have those things, I sat in detention because I didn't have the uniform. So our children are no longer sitting in detention.
Opening the Doors supported me a lot throughout my time in high school. So just allowing mum and dad to supply me with books and uniforms and stuff. So it just decreases the financial stress, I guess, for the whole family. Right now, I'm doing a master's of physiotherapy at Swinburne, which is very good. I'm very happy.
They had study tours at Jenna's Island, though, and I was always real excited to think about the prospect of going on one of those one day. But I knew financially that they cost a lot of money, and it turns out that Open Doors actually helped contribute. So I was able to go on an art and culture study tour to New York City, Washington, D.C. And that was massive for me, being like a 16-year-old young Indigenous girl at that time, finding her way, trying to figure out her passions, and having the ability and opportunity to go overseas on an art tour. It just blew my mind. Now I'm halfway through my second year of my PhD. So that's my study journey, but it's very much my study that I have done is interconnected with my art practice, and I'm still exhibiting, I'm still curating on the side of, like, that's my work. I'm an artist now.
I just wanted to share a story with everybody about Opening the Doors Foundation. You know, we have doctors, we have psychologists, we have chefs, we have childcare workers, we have leaders in our community, and I honestly believe that some of those successes have come from the beginnings with Opening the Doors Foundations. They were supporting those kids with uniforms and books and extracurricular activities right from the get-go. So we all know that if you feel good, you look good, and all sorts of things happen that are great from that. So I can't thank Opening the Doors Foundation enough. I honestly believe this has made huge changes to our community.
The need is very much there. Whilst, yes, we're providing funding between 500,000 and 600,000 a year, we could use double that and still wouldn't be meeting the need of the families. And so that whilst we're... The assistance we give them is a great assistance. It's not funding 100% of that need from that perspective. It's an ongoing story when you're dealing with the Indigenous community, and Opening the Doors Foundation is an ongoing story as well.
I'd like to say thank you, Vicky, for your insight and guidance and your commitment to the foundation, because I saw you at these schools being the fire carrier, and I saw you start the fire carrier, and I think you gave a lot of people hope by being at the foundation. I remember your mother talking about the foundation, and you actually was an inspiration to me that I could send my kids to schools that provided good opportunity for them and a good sporting and any kind of career, you know. Like, I found that the schools I sent them to always would help them with their esteem, their courageous way of thinking and approaching them and working outside in the world. One of the primary schools that I put my kids in was St. Bridget's, and their motto was strong and courageous, and I always liked that. You know, I liked that. And the kids would always cite that at the assemblies and things like that. And I think the messages that they were getting at their school were quite very empowering for them.
Julie, it's interesting you mentioned my mum. And, like, she was one of 11, little country town, Balranald. And she left home from the Greendale station they were living at the time, to Melbourne to go to work. And so she worked in shoe factories and all that in Collingwood, Fitzroy, Preston, for over 35 years. But one of the things that Mum always did was always send books and pencils and shoes back to her brothers and sisters. And there's many cousins. Mum bought their first football boots for them. So I think there's a little bit of Mum that made me sort of move towards the foundation because of what she used to do. And I remember it. I remember it, you know, as a someone going to school too. Here's Mum, you know, sending off these little parcels back to Balranald or wherever they were living at the time, the family. So I think, yeah, Mum's, you know, doing that on her own sort of influenced me. A little bit like you, Marina, you know.
having that opportunity. I think Mum influenced me as well towards the foundation. So thank you for mentoring Mum for me.
We just changed suburbs, and so the kids needed all new uniforms. I didn't even know how we were going to pay the fees, but I was going to do it. So to be able to have that, you know, getting that check to go down to the uniform shop and just fit the kids out was an absolute dream. It's an absolute dream being able to just fit them out with all new uniforms, and they could be proud of what they were, you know, that they were turning up to school with everything like everybody else. I also agree not having to prove that you need the money. I know when I, you know, later on in years when I had a couple of kids in high school, and it was getting really difficult, and so I thought, I went into the school to see whether we could get a little bit of a discount off of the fees, because we were really struggling and I was only just working part-time. And I had to go in there and I had to give them all of our bank details. And I found it a derogatory process. You know, like you're really crawling there saying, please, please, can you help me? So, you know, to be able to put into the foundation and not have to grovel for it, I thought, is makes you feel proud and continue to, you know, to show your kids that you can do more. Education is the one thing that's going to really help us and help our children and help our whole race, not just our kids, but the rest of our race, because our kids will, they'll start leading the way like you two are here, you know, leading the way and showing other kids that it can be done, you know, and when you stand up and have the courage to do it and you identify, then it helps other kids to have the same kind of courage to do that too. And I think if we can educate our kids, we can change things for Aboriginal people in Australia. And that's the biggest benefit that all of us can have, because it's not just for this generation, it's for generations to come.
It's a good news story. And I have learned a lot about the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture that I would not have otherwise been exposed to if I hadn't been involved with Opening the Doors Foundation. And I just think that's so important for all of us white fellas to have an understanding about, because we're the new arrivals, and there is a lot of culture and a lot of history that we can benefit from.
John tells me his learning about Aboriginal culture is an ongoing journey. From his association with Vicky and other First Nations people, he's learned to respect the land and nature and why it's important in Aboriginal culture and beliefs. John thinks the wider population sometimes can take this for granted. The importance of family in a wider sense than Western family experience has also been a learning outcome for him. His 23-year journey with Vicky and Opening the Doors Foundation has been enlightening and rewarding. To have had the opportunity to be part of the journey and to experience the improving outcomes for First Nations students is an output well beyond his expectations when he started talking with Vicky.
I would say realising that it's come to fruition as such, the dream that I had from that very first conversation with John, to realising, you know, that we're actually in it, in the present, that's probably one of the most successful things that I've done in my whole life. Yeah.
I think Vicky's she's the driving person behind it all.
I would honestly say that the foundation would not exist if John Arthur had not walked in the door. We were working behind the scenes before John came, but we didn't really have that other push to get it to that next level. Actually, John laid down the foundation money for the foundation as well. So who else was going to do that?
What a good story, eh? Thanks to our principal storytellers, Vicky Clark, OAM, and John Arthur, that young lawyer who stepped into unfamiliar territory and is still a trustee with the foundation, plus the students, families and educators who helped tell this story. You can find more details in our show notes. Next time, we're off to far northwestern Australia, where we'll hear from a fabulous Aboriginal elder how she joined forces with an English migrant to reintroduce culture, country, and caring for each other to the next generation. We usually give the last word in our podcasts to one of the principal storytellers, but this time, I think these Opening the Door students sum it up perfectly.
I think Opening Doors has been the best thing ever for us.